ेदम पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति। ईशावास्य उपनिषद, a very small Upanishad, has only 18 mantras. Like I said last week, what we studied in the Bhagavad Gita in 18 chapters is given in the 18 mantras in the Ishavasya Upanishad. In fact, Bhagavad Gita is only the summary of the Upanishads. It elaborates what the Upanishads talk about. While it elaborates what the Upanishad talks about, it not only talks from the angle of moksha, it also talks from the dharma angle. How to earn wealth, how to enjoy wealth, how to handle our emotions, and then how to go beyond wealth, emotions, and then reach the Atma. This entire thing is talked about in Bhagavad Gita. And when it comes to Upanishads, they are mostly moksha shastra. They are mainly for people who are evolved. So this Upanishad, Isavasya Upanishad, is part of Yajurveda and has only 18 mantras. And for this Upanishad, the invocation is what we just chanted, Om Purnamada, which we chant after every class. Now, this Purnamada, Purnamidam invocation is not just prayer like any other invocation. This itself will give you this entire knowledge actually. So first he says, Om Purnamada. Ada means that is complete or that is infinite. That is whole. W-H-O-L-E. And Purnam Idam. This is also complete, infinite. So when you analyze this world, this meaning world, that meaning Brahman. So when you analyze this world, what is the world made up of? Time, space, causation. Time is eternal. Space is all pervading. Causation is endless. So this world is infinite. That from which this is come, that is also infinite. Purna Purnam Udachyate. From that, this has come about. Meaning, the material cause of this world is Brahman and the intelligent cause of this world is Brahman. Both the material cause and intelligent cause of this world is Brahman. World is only a mere superimposition. This world is nothing but Brahman, but with names and forms. So another name for the world is Nama Rupa. So when you gain this knowledge, with the knowledge, when you remove the Nama Rupa, what remains is the substrate. Nama Rupa, the changing factor is removed with this knowledge. And what remains is the substratum, which is infinite. So therefore he says, Purna Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So when you remove this names and forms with knowledge, when you understand that these names and forms are essentially Brahman, you reject the names and forms. When you reject the names and forms, what remains is that pure consciousness, which is the substrate. Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Avashishyate. So infinite minus infinite is infinite. So this seemingly infinite world, the projection upon That's Brahman. What is there is only Brahman, nothing else. But due to your mind's play, you are seeing this world. So when you question that, gain this knowledge, you will reject the projection of the mind, then only the reality remains. So, all he wants us to do is gain this knowledge of the self, understand that this is only Nama Rupa, but essentially Brahman. Then you reject and remove the superimposition. What remains is the truth. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So to realize the truth, whatever obstacle that comes from cosmic level, terrestrial level, or from within, God protect us from all those obstacles so that we can reach that Purna. This is the invocation to Isavasya Upanishad. Now let's get on to mantra number 1. Idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat. So this Upanishad starts with Isha, and it's called as Isha Vasya Upanishad. Some people call it as Isha Upanishad also. The same, not different. So first the Upanishad again starts with the mantra Om. It says Om, all this whatsoever in this changing world, changing universe, is pervaded by the Lord Isha. See, time and again we have said this, Upanishads or for that matter any scriptures are only given to make us see the unseen. What is available to our naked eye, we don't need any other help. Something which is not a common knowledge, which is not seen by everybody, we need scriptures, guru. Because ordinarily it's not seen, it's difficult to see. And even when the guru gives you the knowledge, you don't see it immediately. But with Shraddha, if you take that knowledge and continue purifying yourself, the guru's words becomes reality to you. See, I am not seeing it because what the guru says may be wrong. Or I am not seeing it because my inner personality is still not tuned in to the extent that I can see it properly. There are two things possible, isn't it? Now, there are certain sounds which you can't hear because human audible range is only 20 hertz or 20 kilohertz. Below 20 hertz and above 20 kilohertz you can't hear. But the sound is there. But your equipments are not capable of hearing. Similarly, if you try to conceive of that truth with this eye, these ears, these nose, these tongue, this skin, this mind, this intellect, you can't. You need to purify yourself. In the Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter, Arjuna wants to see Vishwarupa Darshan. And Krishna says, behold. And then he says, you can't see with these eyes. I'll give you Jnana Chakshuhu. He gives the Jnana Chakshuhu. Then Arjuna is able to see that. Similarly, he will be able to see this, what the Upanishads say, only when we bring in purification in our inner personality. Without purifying our inner personality, what the Upanishad says will not be our personal experience or vision. So that's why you are supposed to work on your personality and keep changing. You don't have to simply put in more and more effort to understand the words from 25 different angles. Those are all for intellectual curiosity. That you can interpret this word this way, the other way. There is this particular word has 25,000 meaning. From this angle, if you look at it, it is like, these are all intellectual things. A lot of people get lost in these kind of things. But what we need to understand is, he is simply saying, all this means what? The entire universe, which is changing phenomenon, is pervaded by that Lord Om Brahman. All this is nothing but Brahman. But today you don't see it as Brahman, you see it as different names and forms. And these different names and forms are pervaded by that Isha, the Lord. So, Om Isavasyam Idam Sarvam Yat Kinchat Jagatyam Jagat. Jagatyam Jagat means this constantly changing universe. Tena Tyaktera Bunjita Magrda Kasya Sutra. So, may you renounce and enjoy. By renouncing that, may you enjoy. Now, renunciation means knowledge. Whenever you hear the word renunciation, immediately in your mind this term knowledge should come. A lot of us, renouncing means is a literal meaning, giving up. But the technical meaning of the word renunciation is not giving up, but taking up something higher. So may you renounce and enjoy. By renouncing that, may you enjoy. Renouncing that means what? Renouncing what? What do you renounce?
You renounce the world.
That renounce is the world.
This is temporary.
Maybe your desires and your mind.
No. I just said, renunciation means knowledge. So gaining the right knowledge about the world, you give up the attachment to this changing world. By identifying with the non-changing reality. You get rid of anything lower by attaching to something higher. When you climb the ladder, when your right foot is firmly established on the upper rung, you will be able to take your left foot away from the lower rung. Otherwise you will fall down. So may you renouncing that, may you enjoy. Means what? How will you renounce? Through the knowledge. So renunciation is not renouncing the world. It's gaining the right knowledge about the world. What is the right knowledge about the world? That all these are transitory, passing, fleeting. The Bhagavad Gita we studied, no. janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshana. So this body is something that is born, it will grow, it will contract disease, it will decay, it will die. That's life. That's the body. That's the body's journey. You can't stop it. So when I understand that, then I renounce my attachment to it, my undue expectations to it. I place a right value. And when I place a right value, I enjoy. Enjoyment is in renunciation. May you enjoy through renunciation. And renunciation means knowledge. With proper knowledge, there won't be attachment and then you will enjoy. So by renouncing that, may you enjoy. Without renouncing that, without that knowledge, what will happen? You will be attached. When you are attached, what will happen? You will suffer. You will not enjoy. So this world is meant for you to enjoy. But you are not enjoying today because you do not have the knowledge. You don't see it as the Lord pervading this universe. You don't see this universe as nothing but the Lord with different names and forms. Therefore you suffer. Then he says, do not covet anyone's wealth. The advice given here is to not covet others' wealth. So, what this Upanishad in the beginning is saying is, the main declaration it is addressing to the evolved students. Upanishad directly comes to the evolved students. Only when they are not able to understand it, then it goes to the next level of students. Then it comes down a little bit. Of course, straight away it gives it to the evolved students. So it says, first thing it declares, the declaration of Brahman, the Supreme Reality. The four padas are there for the, in the Upanishads. It talks about whole thing in these four padas, parts. Every Upanishad will have like this. So first it will declare that Brahman. The very Upanishad is meant to declare that Brahman, which is not ordinarily seen by everybody. So it declares that Brahman, the Supreme Reality. First, Brahman is that all-pervading reality, which is changeless. That is that Om. So the declaration of Brahman is given in the line number 1. Then in lines 1 and 2, he explains that Brahman. What is that Brahman? It is that reality which pervades the changing world. And then through all these changes, a change is possible to be noticed only with reference to a changeless substratum. So the changeless substratum is pervading the changing world. This is the Brahman. The changeless aspect in the changing world is Brahman. Because if you say everything is Brahman, pervaded by Brahman, you will think names and forms to be Brahman. Brahman is the changeless substrat. The names and forms are changing phenomena. So therefore he says, the explanation of Brahman, it gives in lines 1 and 2. So pervaded in this world, which is Jagatyam Jagat. Jagatyam Jagat means constantly changing. Now, how do I reach there? What is the path? The path to Brahman is what? There, in line number 3. Tena yaktena bhujita. Tena yaktena bhujita. Means what? By renouncing that, may you enjoy. You will be able to enjoy the reality when you renounce the world. You renounce the world means the exaggerated value you have for this world. See, this body is a sadhana. Sorry, the body is a equipment with which you need to sadhana to reach the Atma. To that extent, this body is important. You don't reject it. But your whole life is simply worshipping the body. What is the use? Whole life is going in worshipping the body. So in the path to Brahman, you need to renounce that exaggerated value you have placed upon all these things. So much time and effort is gone in just this body. You see, out of these 24 hours, how much time is spent in this body? Phenomenal amount of time. Hardly we have any time for the reality. This is not only with reference to Brahman. Even in the mundane level, for the important things, we hardly have any time. For all the unnecessary stuff, we have all the time in the world. That's the problem. Time is 24 hours for everybody. Not just for few people, isn't it? It's 24 hours for everyone. Whether it's a prime minister or a president or not, maybe even beggar. So you can't increase that. Be 24 hours. But you got to set your priorities within that. So when you gain the knowledge, when you analyze, then you'll be able to set the priorities right. So, renounce the foolish concepts you have gathered over a period of time. Renounce them. You will not be able to renounce it now till you gain the strength of knowledge. With the strength of knowledge, you'll be able to reject it. Otherwise, it becomes difficult. And when you reject, you would say, I could have done this long time ago. But why I didn't do it? You didn't do it because that time you did not have the strength to do it. See, you will have certain things at home, which is not used by you, but you will still keep it. You will not throw it away or give it to somebody. Maybe suddenly after 15 years or 20 years, now you would have given it up. At that time, you would have thought, 20 years ago itself, I would have given it up. But why I didn't give up? 20 years ago, you were not in that level to give it away. Now you got that knowledge to give it away. That's all. The same object, you could have given it away 20 years ago. But you didn't. Now you have the strength to give it away. Nothing would have happened if you had given it away 20 years ago. Except your mind had a value for it, therefore you could not give it. So when you reflect, when you understand the transitory nature, passing, fleeting nature of this world, then you will be able to give it. So the path to Brahman is understanding this changing phenomenon and seeing the changeless phenomenon that is running as a substratum, identifying with that and doing whatever you do in this world. Whatever you do it identifying with Brahman. When you do it identifying with Brahman, then you drop the vasanas. When the attention has gone, turned towards the self, then the vasanas drop. Till then it won't. So the path to Brahman is given in line number 3. It is renunciation. The path to come to renunciation is action. That's why in the Bhagavad Gita, first he gives karma yoga. Then he gives karma sannyasa yoga. Third chapter is karma yoga. Fifth chapter is karma sannyasa yoga. So to come to karma sannyasa yoga, you got to follow karma yoga. And through karma sannyasa yoga, you will come to jnana yoga, which is the sixth chapter, and you will realize the thing. Therefore, for Brahman, the path is renunciation. And for renunciation, the path is action. That's why in the next verse, mantra 2, those who are not still in the level of renunciation, he says, for you guys, the path is action. But you want to go to Brahman, then the path is renunciation, which means knowledge. Brahman is not something that you lost to regain, which is possible to be then gained through action. But since Brahman is not something that is lost, you can't gain it with action. You have to gain it only with knowledge. Because you are already Brahman. So, therefore he says, renounce all the foolish concepts, attachments, identifications, conditionings. And those are removed, and what remains is Brahman. So the path to Brahman is renunciation. By renouncing this world, may you enjoy. Then he gives the directional advice to the seekers. The last line, Ma Grida Kasya Svidhanam. Do not covet anybody's wealth, another's wealth. This is an advice he gives because the mind is always compared to fire. Any amount you cater to the mind wants more and more and more. It will never be satiated. As a sadhak, we need to keep our mind calm as much as possible. Because only in a calm mind, the self will reflect, not in an agitated mind. So, if we are really interested in realizing Brahman, then it is essential that we keep our mind calm. And if you are coveting others well, you will not be able to keep yourself calm. It's not possible. So, he says, Ma Grida Kasya Svidhanam. Develop a dispassion towards wealth. Place right value, dispassion means right value for the wealth. It is just something that you have to exchange for a certain commodity, contact and enjoy. So therefore, not long for something that belongs to somebody else. Whatever you have earned with your hard work, satisfy yourself for your transaction purpose and move on. So by merely craving, you'll only be disturbing your mind. So you've got to crave, you've got to curb your cravings. Very important. So Ma Grida Kasya Svidhanam. Also this term Ma Grida Kasya Svidhanam can be interpreted slightly differently. For whose is the wealth? When you are able to see the whole thing as Brahman, then how does it matter The wealth is in left pocket or the right pocket. The shirt is worn by that person. So there may be some few hundred rupee notes more in left pocket than the right pocket. How does it matter? Both is belonging to you only. So this material world itself is a modification of Brahman. So what is this wealth? This wealth is nothing but Brahman. So for whose is the wealth? The moment I understand and see it from that angle, there won't be this craving. See, from our individual level, we are playing all this game. Something that has been there in your home. Now I take it and come and bring it in, keep it in my home. How does it matter? Now, you buy a property which is belonging to somebody else. It's in somebody else's name. Now, you occupy that property. They vacate. They go and buy some other property. They occupy there. So, end of the day, this game we are playing, but the land always belongs to country India. So, similarly, he says, for whose is this wealth? The whole thing is belonging to Brahman. So in the Puranas, Balakrishna is seen lying down and sucking his own toe, which is symbolically telling that you are sucking your own wealth. The whole wealth belongs to Brahman. So, there is no meaning in all this craving. Mental craving should be controlled if you want the knowledge to go in. The path to Brahman is knowledge which will bring you renunciation. And for the knowledge to go into you, you need to control your cravings. That's the advice he gives here. If you don't control your cravings, if you keep on adding fuel to the fire, your mind will continue to be in distress. It will be running after the passions. And such a mind will not be able to digest the knowledge. That's why in the Gita it says, Shanta Rajasam. The Rajas has to be pacified, quietened. In the 6th chapter it says. And in the 6th chapter, verse number 19, he compares the mind of a yogi to a lamp in a windless place which glows nicely, single-pointedly, without flickering. So the mind has to be passionless or beyond passion for the knowledge to glow single-pointedly. Otherwise, it's difficult. So, therefore, he says, ultimately, you need to gain the knowledge of the self and attain renunciation. And when you attain renunciation, you will enjoy this world and you will also realize the self and enjoy infinite joy. But to gain that knowledge, you should have the right approach to the wealth. The entire world is what? Nothing but sense objects. Five elements. So, when we studied the Atmabodha also, we have seen that from that Brahman, in the Brahman, the Maya is inherent. Brahman plus Maya, we called it as Ishvara. And that Ishvara first comes out as Hiranyagarbha, then it comes out as Virat Purusha. The pure elements come out first. The mixture of pure elements, tanmatras, in the subtle body. Then the gross elements come out and the mixture of gross elements is the gross body. So this grass elements, the subtle elements, what are they? They are actually Brahman only. They are actually Ishvara. So the moment I understand that, then my approach to wealth will not be coveting, trying to put more into my pocket. From the total angle, how does it matter? Like I told you, you sold, somebody else bought, somebody else sold, you bought. End of the day, the land is still belonging to that country only. It's not belonging to somebody else. It belongs to the same country. The difference is only from your mind point of view. From the total, nothing has happened. So the moment I understand that, then my coveting stops. My craving stops. So I need to handle my cravings. When I handle my cravings, then my mind will be calm. So I need to bring in sense control, mind control. Then I can gain knowledge. So the directional advice to the seeker is, deal with wealth properly. Don't develop cravings. Gain that knowledge. When you gain that knowledge, you'll be able to see the truth, which is Lord pervading this universe. No, you don't. Because you have not cleansed your inside. So that's why we say, don't be in a hurry. Keep cleansing your inside personality, then this knowledge will make you see the Lord pervading this world. You simply study, you will only be psyching yourself to believe that Lord pervades this world. But when you cleanse yourself, then that will become your reality, your own perception. You are seeing it there. So without that 3D glass that you wear in the movie theater, you won't see that movie in that three-dimensional way. You need that glass. So therefore, he says, Magrida Kasya Shuddha. Do not covet others' wealth. For whose is the wealth? So, first thing he says, that same concept what he already spoke in the Purnamada. This entire universe is nothing but Brahman. Isha Vasyam Idam Sarvam Yatcincha Jagatyanch. So in this changing phenomenon, the changeless substratum is pervading it. But you don't see it now. Like the butter pervades the milk. You don't see the butter. But there is a process through which you churn the butter out. Similarly, you want to churn it out. This Isha has to be churned out from this world. You got to gain that knowledge. To gain that knowledge, you need to control your mind. You need to work on your own mind. It's not that you keep on learning more and more Upanishads, more and more scriptures, then you suddenly get the knowledge of Brahma. No. You would have just filled with a lot more words. So even if you are studying just one Upanishad, but with that if you continue doing sadhana and change your inner personality, then you will be able to see the reality. That's all he says. So, this mantra is given for mumukshus. Mumukshu means those who seek moksha. Those who are in that level, for them it is given. Renunciation means resigning everything to Brahman. This is a very beautiful quality that is spoken about, called Aniketa. Aniketa means homeless. Aniketa is also name of Lord Shiva. Aniketa means homeless. Homeless means what? Not remaining without home. What it means is you understand that home which you are living in now, which may be on a document, may be on your name, but actually belongs to whom? To that Lord. So the moment I understand that, then I will have non-possessive attitude. When I have non-possessive attitude, then I enjoy. See, the secret of any enjoyment is in being non-possessive. The moment I become possessive, I don't enjoy. This is what happens. People who fall in love and then get married, once they get married, they suddenly find that marriage is not a very happy marriage. Why? Because you start becoming possessive about each other. My husband, my wife, and my this and my that. So that my is what creates the problem. Each other fighting, you are not the same person. You have changed. Nobody is changed. It's just the possessiveness. See, you buy a chocolate from the shop outside. And then they come with a nice, it's nicely wrapped, you know. Beautifully packaged, some of them. Now if you eat that chocolate with that paper, how will it be? Will you enjoy? You should remove the paper, throw it, and then eat the chocolate. So, your attachment, your possessiveness should be removed. It's the same Brahman in different name and form. But I am trying to possess it more with for my ego. The moment I get into that angle, then I suffer. I don't enjoy. If you really want to enjoy, it's not in acquisitions. It's in dropping your attachment to your possession. So it's not the amount of possessions that you have. It is how much of possessiveness that you do not have. Please understand that. If you can clean drop your possessiveness 100%, 100% enjoyment will be. So that's why in Vedanta we say, renunciation is joy. Renunciation is joy means what? You give up that ownership, that possession. If you don't give up that ownership, if you don't give up that possession, yes, you will suffer. Even this question that came in between, you know, even yesterday's class somebody asked me something similar. Says, what will happen to my children if I die before them? And the lady is young, and children are also very small. So she asked this question. The fear is there. Not just because of this pandemic, generally also. So, we have this thing that as if this world is running because of us. We are sitting in this world. The earth is revolving around the sun and maintaining a certain distance. If it goes too close, it will all be burnt to death. If it goes too far away, it will all be frozen to death. Are you maintaining this distance? Who is maintaining this? You happily had your breakfast and have come to this class. It's gone into your system. Are you going inside and digesting it? Distributing it. You are not the one who is doing it. So, when you were carrying your child in your stomach, you had your food, but the nature made sure that the food is gone to the child in the womb, not you. So even now, when the children are there, they are there in spite of you, not because of you. I'm sitting in Chennai now. Delhi Center is still running. Delhi Center is not dependent on me. Before me it was there, after me it will be there. Maybe after me it will be run better by somebody else. Why have this kind of a sense of indispensability? That possessiveness, and then suffer. Whole life you suffer. So what we are doing is, we are going on expanding our wealth. There is nothing wrong in growing our wealth. But we are going on expanding our wealth, but going on increasing our possessiveness also. And you will never enjoy. Instead, if you don't expand your wealth, but drop your possessiveness, you will enjoy, whatever it may be. So the enjoyment is in renunciation. It's not in possession. It's very, very few people who understand. And the day you understand that, you will enjoy your children, you will enjoy your spouse, you will enjoy your home, you will enjoy your business, you will enjoy everything. But if you don't understand that, you will never enjoy us. And that's why Swami says, only two fellows enjoy, which is Swamis and son-in-laws, who enjoy everything. Oh, you're going to the city, please bless our house. Go stay there in that house for 3 days, Swamiji. 2 days at least, bless our house. Swamiji is enjoying your house. You don't have any time to go anywhere. It's going on accumulating, accumulating, accumulating. What you don't understand is, it's your ego. It actually belongs to the Lord. So it's for transactional purpose only. So beyond that, don't crave. See, the craving belongs to the mind. He is talking about removing the craving. He is not talking about getting rid of your possessions. This is a very wrong understanding he has in Vedanta. It is more difficult to get rid of the craving, easier to get rid of your possessions. Many of us get rid of our possessions, but the possessiveness you can never get rid of. Very difficult. Swami Dayanandaji gives this example, this story actually. He says, a bachelor boy, in the family they had seen a girl for him. So they all wanted to go and see that girl and, you know, it's arranged marriage. So their whole family is going with that boy. Some of his friends are also going with him to the girl's house in a village. And this is in South India, Tamil Nadu. So the bridegroom is wearing that dhoti and shirt. The silk dhoti, silk shirt. Another friend of his also is wearing silk shirt and silk dhoti. They are all going. So, the crowd in the village, they are asking who is the bridegroom. Because everybody is wearing dhoti shirt. And there are two fellows wearing silk shirt. So who is the right? And in the other, everybody says, that's all that thing. So suddenly in one place, some dirt falls on the bridegroom's shirt and dhoti. So the friend exchanges his clothes with this bridegroom and he wears that one which is soiled. So villagers, when they are asking after that, who is the bridegroom? The friend says, he is the bridegroom, but the clothes he is wearing is mine. So every now and then people are asking, he says, he is the bridegroom, but the clothes he is wearing is mine. So after that, the friend says, that they only asked who the bridegroom, they didn't say whose clothes am I wearing. So the story is, he has given up his clothes, but he's not given up the possessiveness of the clothes. He will never give up. We'll hold on to it. And we'll suffer. You'll never enjoy. But you will be able to drop that possessiveness when you understand that actually belongs to Bhagavan. Everything actually belongs to Bhagavan. Temporarily you have been given it to stay in it as a tenant. But then you start thinking it's yours. And you develop samsara, a mental attachment. And you find that this is not enough, it's wanting, you want more and more. This samsara is the problem. This is what you are supposed to liberate. So when the pure consciousness manifested through this body and this individual is born as it were, the individual is raising in this body, mind, intellect as a tenant. So five elements, everything is modification of that Brahman only. But you try to possess through this body, mind, intellect this other elements. Madness. What is this body made up of? Five elements. What is this earth, gold and everything made up of? Five elements. So five elements, craving for five elements. This madness is going on. That's what he's saying. Stupidity. So one aspect of Brahman, craving for another aspect of Brahman. Why this is happening? Because this one aspect of Brahman which is craving hasn't got that knowledge that the other is also another aspect of oneself only. Once you understand that, will you crave? That's why he compares that story and this. It's like Balakrishna sucking his own toe. He's trying to tell the world, yeah, what you fellows are doing is one set of elements trying to quote the other set of elements which has no meaning. Finally, what happens? The five elements, this body, perishes and merges back with the five elements. In the end, he will talk about it. In the Sisavasya Upanishad itself. While we are manifested in this body, which is a five element combination, what are we doing? We are trying to crave for more and more five element combination, go on expanding, expanding, expanding. And finally, one day this body perishes. Now what happens? The earth from this body goes back to earth. The air from this body goes back to air. Fire goes back to fire. Water goes back to water. Space merges with space. In between, in this tamasha, without knowledge, we are craving, getting agitated. So he says, first control this mental stupidity modification. So for transactional purpose, whatever is needed through your effort, you earn that and satisfy yourself. Then when you keep your mind calm, in that calm mind, you will be able to gain the knowledge and reflect. Then the result of that knowledge would be absolute renunciation and realization of that's all he says. So if you don't understand, then you will try to, and then you will try to crave for this world and you keep on increasing and you will feel, your ego will feel great as if you have increased. To make no difference to the total. Make no difference to the total. Einstein talked about that E is equal to MC square. Well, he says, some total will always be same. In between this ego, is now from you, I take more and keep it with me. Then somebody else take more from me and they keep it with them. And in this tamasha, they are going on playing this game. And then they see somebody else having more, they get dejected. They feel they're having more than others, they get excited. But ultimately, it all is nothing but nisha. When I understand this, more than for transactional purpose, I have no value for the world. When I don't have value for the world or wealth, then this wealth of the world will not preoccupy my mind. So Vedanta is only against the preoccupation of your mind. And when my mind is free from this preoccupation, it is available for study and reflection. Till then it's not available for study and reflection. We're all lost in some kind of preoccupation. Each one has certain things valuable for them and the mind keeps running for them. So, how will you drop these preoccupations? By clearly understanding, reflecting. So, therefore, the first mantra of this Upanishad says, the path to Brahman is renunciation, which is from knowledge. So what is your attitude to wealth? What is your attitude towards the world? Change that. Get rid of that craving. Vajra Govindam says the same thing. No? Craving is the problem. Contacting is not the problem. Contacting, supposing Upanishad says contacting is a problem, then you can reject the Upanishad. Upanishad never talks about contact. It never talks about giving up of the world. It talks about giving up of the exaggerated value that you have placed for it. So these elements are modification of that Ishwara only. Then I will understand that. Why will I crave for the material objects and beings? That's the question. So, therefore he says, Margrha Tatya Svetanam. For whose is the wealth? Matter is whose? Matter is belonging to the spirit only. From the spirit this matter has come about. And in the spirit the matter exists. And in the spirit the matter dissolves. Every now and then he said, from me the whole jagat has evolved. In me the whole jagat is resting. On me the whole jagat is resting. And in me the whole jagat will dissolve. From, on, in. Remember that. From me the jagat has come out. On me, it is existing. And into me, it dissolves. So once I understand that, then my mind's extrovertedness reduces, disappears. And the moment my mind becomes calm, the self from within reveals itself. We need to bring ourselves to that calmness. Otherwise not possible. You can read any number of books, nothing will happen. So this beautiful mantra, the very first mantra he gives this to cater to the highest level of students. You are interested in Brahman, you can gain it only through knowledge. For that, handle your cravings. Once you handle your cravings, you'll be able to gain the knowledge. What is happening in the world? We don't do anything with reference to our cravings. Simply going on reading, others don't read also. And then they say, I've been reading for so many years, nothing is happening. How will anything happen? You don't work on your cravings. There is no sense control, mind control, nothing. Simply going on reading so many more Upanishads and expect things to change soon. Therefore, start handling your feelings. So this entire verse gives all the four padas which the Upanishads talk about. So with this, we can conclude today's class. Next week we will talk about the second verse where he addresses people who are still not evolved to this height, where to them he gives action as the path. The majority of us will belong to that category. Let us conclude now. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyeva Buddhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Hari Om.